Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello. This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Wednesday, the 14th of December, 2022, and I'm a very croaky Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter, and you can download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, Ask Alexa, and all of our... Oh, no, it's lit up now. No. And all of your normal podcast providers. On this week's show, the Belfast Giants ended a losing streak with a win over Dundee at home, but that wasn't before a tough battle in Cardiff. We'll get those games in a bit. And if you're watching live, get your questions in for Mark Garside. He'll be joining us in a short while. Joe will have a bit of news from around the league, and the Giants return to Challenge Cup action on Thursday night on Via Sports, games against the Storm at the Blaze this weekend. This may not be a very long show. We'll see how long this lasts, because I'm not the only one who's playing hurt. David McGimsey, how are you?
Hang on, Pat, I was doing another thing there for later in the show. Mate, I don't know if anybody heard, but like nearly 10 years ago, I broke my leg.
You did not?
It was pretty bad, mate. I've got to be honest. I'm probably feeling a wee bit worse now than I was then. And it's just came on in the last few hours. I've been like, it's been in this house for 4 days and I've been giving it the big one. Can't make me sick.
Yep.
But three night shifts in a row seem to have just got me.
Yeah, I think both our kids have had sickness over the last week, and then we had a great trip to Alton Towers at the weekend with the kids and all that, but it just seems that the bugs have been passed on then, and I'm just suffering.
Hot lemon, woolly hat, two jumpers, mini mouse for Andrew Owen sent me that.
Brilliant. Mini mouse hot water bottle.
I'm going to try and get through here, you know, just going to take it for the team. Thank you.
Wonderful. Joel, how are you? Are you fitting well?
Yeah, well, I've never been fit in my life, but I'm all right. I'm going to try my best to center this line that's playing hurt tonight, but I don't know, boys. we'll try our very best here. At least we've got a win to talk about, right? That's better than last week.
That is very, very true. We will get to this game shortly. Before we do, we start with the news late last week from the Belfast Giants that Colby McCauley had departed with immediate effect. 10 points in 22 games. Domestically, the club are sure that a replacement is inbound. Now, there's been significant online speculation, rumour, tittle-tattle as the reasons behind the departure, none of which substantiated and none of which we'll be dignifying with any discussion on here. From our point of view, Davey, the Giants have lost a forward that needs replacing.
Yeah, from the club have already said that replacements either incoming or already booked. From my perspective, when you sign for the Belfast Giants, you sign for a whole lot more than goals and assists, and that'll be assessed on a daily basis, and the club have decided that it's time to cut ties with him, and off he goes, so he's away.
Joel?
Yeah, look, the club is people come and go from the club. They've You know, we've lost players mid-season since year one, and we'll continue to lose players mid-season. But as we often say, the club is so much greater than any individual, absolutely any individual, apart from us three, obviously. So look, the club will carry on, and I've no doubt, faith in Robert Fitzpatrick, the ownership group, the coach, whatever else, is the same as it was last week.
Absolutely. The name on the front is far more important than the name on Correct. The back. Let's get to the games that took place this weekend. We start with the game at Ice Arena Wales between the Belfast Giants and the Cardiff Devils. Of course, the last time these two faced off, the Giants had a significant win. This time, the Cardiff Devils were able to hit back with a 4-2 victory. Goals from Sanford, Crawford, and then two more from Sanford to seal his hat-trick. Two goals for Kieran Long for the Belfast Giants. In goals, Jackson Whistle, 31 shots on, 3 goals against. Ben Bounds, 42 shots on, 2 goals against. And your referees were Tom Perring and Stefan Hogarth. Now, Davey, as I said earlier, I didn't get to see this game live because I was away. I have watched the highlights. And given where we are as a team and the players trying to get back in the roster, how was this performance?
See, Paddy, this is different. Obviously, empty netter at the end, wasn't it?
Yes,
it's really a 3-2 goal, one goal game, and with an empty netter to fill it up. From my perspective, it sounds stupid because I'm always banging this drum that we've actually played a lot better than the result suggests. We came out in the first period, and apologies to everybody, I just wasn't well enough to get the goals.
Got them from YouTube.
Going for the whole thing. We came out in that, and Soisey was in that top line there for Scott Conway on the night. Hits the post on the first shift. Could have been such a different game. I think the Cardiff Devils at times have kept us, keeps us to the outside very well. They're big bodies, and you have to be willing to continually pay the price to go in there. I'm not saying guys didn't, but like Ben Bounds didn't have an awful lot of like really difficult shots to save. I thought we played well statistically. We outgraded them, you know, the expected goals was a good margin in our favor, which suggests that we're giving up softer goals and we're not converting. I think Andrew Dixon talks about it in the webcast with Simon on Sunday about conversion rate. You know, we're out shooting teams sloped every game. You know, well, sorry, not every game, nearly every game we're really out shooting teams, and you've got to turn that pressure into goals at this level. And that's just an unfortunate one on the penalty kill that goes against us. There's a couple of funny old calls. I'm the one that says, you know, you've got to take it rough with the smooth with some calls from the referees. Now this is Kieran Long, goes straight back down the ice and makes it 1-1. Ben Bounds will probably want to have another look at that. But we hung in there. We silenced the crowd for good. The first period, I remember texting Taff at the end of the first period saying, should have answered his phone at work. That's not. But saying it was a really good first road period, considering we had mixed lines up. Sometimes when you just go with your three lines of forwards and your 3D, there's no complications. You're just rolling. You're just on, sit, on. You know, you're every other, more or less every other shift, you know, you're coming back on the ice and you're just rotating that. And for the first period, I thought like we certainly carried the game in the first period. And disappointed that we didn't come out of this game with something, but just, you know, wasn't meant to be in the night, whatever you want to say, hockey calls. I think there's a couple of calls. Like, I think we had one power play against, I don't know, probably if you have the stats there, 7-8 maybe. And it wasn't that kind of game. But sometimes you have to be that sandpaper to go in, as I said, those dirty areas and draw penalties, which just don't think on the night we did enough.
I think the power plays, we were, I'm looking at the wrong game. It would help if I looked at the right game. I was looking at the Dundee game. But yeah, 78. But like Davey said, Joel, it's a case that, especially after last weekend against the Storm and the reaction to that, we needed a reaction on the ice. Despite the loss, I felt we got it.
Yeah, I sort of opened my game report this week before this game, saying that I felt that the Giants came into Cardiff, difficult road trip, always has been, regardless of form. It's hard to go to Cardiff. They're games that have a little bit more bite to them. I think that the Giants went into that game knowing that the stakes were high, and I think that you could see it. I think the first period was a little cagey. I don't think that we were particularly bad in the first period. I think that we were probably the better of the two teams. And yes, Davey, you said obviously Ben Bynes wasn't called into doing an awful lot, but he was certainly the busier of the two goaltenders in that first period. I thought Jackson Whistle was stellar throughout the second, especially when things got a little bit kind of sketchy on the penalty board as well. You know, we go 1-0 down on a 5-on-3. You know, it's hard to turn the tide whenever the numbers game catches up on you like that. You know, individual standout moments. Kieran Long got us back on the board really quickly and was super all throughout the weekend up until, as we come to talk about, he didn't come back out for the third period on Sunday. But yeah, look, it sounds like an old sporting trope, but I sort of felt like the Devils owed us one. It's a hard road game to go and play on. They had their opportunity with us maybe not playing great as of late, and they owed us a black eye after the one we gave them before. So yeah, look, it is what it is.
Sorry, Davey, I'm going to correct myself there. According to the Elite League stats, the Devils had 6 power plays. They are 1, and we converted on the only power play we had.
Yeah.
But you're right.
To put us on the 5-on-3, Tom Perrings called it from near enough centre ice. There's a bit of a melee in front of our goal, and he's called, I think it's Lewis Hook for hooking from a distance. And, you know, again, without being too critical, or if, because I think, well, to be fair, Adam Keith nearly came on the ice. I've spoke to refs in this league. We're very fortunate. We're in a privileged position at times to get to talk to them, and like, they don't come into the press, but they're all very free with their comments and how they see games, I like to talk to them because I try to educate myself as to what they're seeing. Spoke to one about too many men calls the other week, and it's enlightening, you know, what they're seeing. I think we had too many men call on the night as well. Which is something now that refs and linos are looking for, because we're at that stage where we're not far off one every other game or whatever, so refs are looking for it. But to give us a 5-on-3 for something that soft, you'd be very disappointed if you're a coach in that situation. And they went on, obviously, to score on that 5-on-3.
And Jackson Whistle, you know, statistically, you know, he had, 31 shots against, 3 goals against. Joel, but coming up strong, especially away from home.
Yeah, and that's it. I think, you know, the Devils, as Davey said, they're very good at collapsing around their goal. They're very good at protecting Ben Bynes. And I thought that they were very good going forward on the break as well. So, I think that the chances that they find on us were of a higher quality than the chances we were kind of finding. And even, you know, they were converting from long range. I think there was it the second one Marcus Crawford scored just before the end of the second period. Big clap from the left hand side. So they had those little bits of luck as well, firing through traffic and whatever else. But yeah, just I felt like it was one that just the Cardiff Devils owed us, and we weren't horrible, but we didn't do enough to win. Just as what it is.
I think from my point of view, it's frustrating because I think we've seen that the Belfast Giants are a better team on their day than the Cardiff Devils are. So going in the way we were and the way we've been the last couple of weeks, and we haven't been good the last couple of weeks. You know, it hasn't been great. We've been hurt. We've played badly. We've had some poor performances, and I was sort of worried going into Cardiff that we would take a shellac, and we didn't take a shellac. And I thought, given the team that we put out there and the game we played, we were in it right to the death. And I think that's a good performance. You put our full side out there. I don't think we lose that game. I think we do. We do a lot better than we did. Just a comment there from Stephen Mills. Davey Cullen and Bast are playing some smashing hockey.
Yeah, arguably for 2D men, our 2 best wingers at the minute. they're the ones that are. They're forcing defensive responsibility also on our forwards, because more often than not, they're leading the transition. They're taking the puck over the blue line. Our controlled entry's been very good. Our numbers have been strong there. We didn't give the Cardiff Devils much in terms of controlled entry to our D zone at the weekend. We made them chip and chase a lot. They iced the puck constantly. I don't know whether somebody actually counts icings on the night, but used to, but what's the point? what does it tell you apart from the ice the puck? I think that they played quite negative at times, in that they tucked in around the house, as I said right at the very start. They forced us to the outside, didn't give us anything inside, and just whenever those D-men got the puck, it was up off a glass or it was straight down the center of the ice. And you know, for them, they went on the next night. As I spoke to a few people within the Cardiff Devils organization who'd said that, you know, they're at this stage, they're getting a lot of grief from fans about You know, the quality of the Cardiff Devils team. Somebody actually used the term, it's the worst Cardiff Devils team that's ever been assembled. And I did remind them about 8 or 9 years ago, we were playing in a wooden shed with a blue tarpaulin stretched over the top of it, and Paul Ragan coming in his BMW and parking the disabled spaces. You know, it was. Am I right or wrong? You were there.
You're absolutely right. They had
chocolate on the pizzas. It was a bad time for the club. And
they did.
Do you remember they caught us with a pizza coming in?
Yeah, but I put it in my backpack and the thing went on its side, and then when we opened it up, it just all collapsed.
That was good times. But yeah, look, and then they go on the following night, and I think how many did they lose to the Panthers, who got absolutely mullered by Storm, five. Didn't it? So it's like
more Storm, five, was sorry, it? Yeah. Well, five, yeah.
I thought they went
five and Storm, wasn't it?
I thought anyway. Nottingham played Cardiff on Sunday, but anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm nearly certain it was Nottingham.
They did. They beat them 5-2 on Sunday.
Yeah, so it's just they're up and down. Form and it's dangerous. The only team that's really stringing it week after week, and they haven't came up against. I'm not saying they haven't had adversity. They haven't came up against the big eye, the injuries. Cardiff or the Guildford Flames are still just putting the wins in there.
I think we're no way
17 back there. So, you know, that's just all you can do. All you can do in hockey is go and win your next shift. Go and battle for your next shift. Try and win your next period. Try and win your next game. There's no more important game at the minute for us than Panthers tomorrow night. And then after that, we'll focus on the weekend, and we just have to chip away as best we can. Believe that we've got a roster that can, you know, overhaul some of the teams above us and just keep going. Left foot, right foot, boys, and just keep going at it.
From that, I'm just absolutely shocked that there's a statistic that your stats team doesn't do, and it's icings.
I hope Stevie Thompson isn't watching. I don't read everything every week because it is quite a compendium that comes. So if you're watching and you do icings.
Do you do all the icings?
Highlight it for me and I'll read it.
we'll get the icing.
We'll have a weekly icing report.
Speaking of highlights, the highlights in this game are available on YouTube from Devils TV, and we move on to a game that we won. The Belfast Giants returned to the SSC Arena to face Jeff Mason's Dundee Stars, as we contractually have to call them. Share this. The 4-3 win for your Belfast Giants. 2 goals from Will Cullen, Ben Lake and Lewis Hook for the Giants. Sanch Eriksson with 2 for the Stars. Jackson Whistle, 21 shots against, 3 goals against. Anton Svensson, 54 shots against, 4 goals against. Your referees are Tom Perring and Steve Brown, the best referee from the Northeast. Joel, we needed that.
Yeah, we really needed that. The first note I wrote down for that game was really needed this one. They opened the scoring against the run of play as well. I love watching Philip Sanch play hockey. He's so fast. He reminds me of John Pelly back in his heyday. He was also a former Cardiff Devil briefly. It's another game that we responded quickly to. You know, Sanch gets them 1-0 up against the run of play. Will Cullen, Ben Lake set up Will Cullen. And I know that it's easy to say Will Cullen as a defenseman with 2 goals was the shining star in this game. But Ben Lake was absolutely something else on every phase of play during this game. Setting up that game, the aggression that he plays with, and the individual brilliance that he had for the third goal. On the breakaway, came over the blue line, sort of went forehand, backhand, and managed to just slot it over the left-hand shoulder of Svensson. I thought Ben Lake was just an absolute joy to watch in this game. But yeah, we did. We needed it. Laker was outstanding. Will Cullen was outstanding, contributing 2 goals. Lewis Hook's on the scoreboard, and he's been contributing points fairly regularly since he came back. The only dark cloud hanging over this game for me is that we seem to have lost Kieran Long after it seemed to be a kind of slash that he took in the second period, and he tried to come back out for his next shift, didn't re-emerge for the third. So pray to goodness Longer's all right. Go ahead, David.
Don't know how he is, because I was looking to get my hair cut next week.
You're getting the one-handed cut.
Well, maybe you got the two-handed cut, so I'll not even risk that.
Three weeks later, we're still going.
Still on.
Really needed that. I thought we needed it. We came in to find our spark. And credit to the Dundee Stars, didn't make it easy for us as well. You know, with, I think Mace, he hasn't found consistency throughout the season, but whenever that team's firing, he's got a great wee side there with a couple of boys who I would quite happily see in Teal and White. So not an easy win, but I'm glad that we dug one out.
That's absolutely right, isn't it, Davey? It was a fight more than anything else, and it has been with the Dundee Stars.
I keep thinking, yes, Jeff Mason's Dundee Stars. I keep thinking that,
yep, Jeff Mason's Dundee Stars.
You know, I like what we did in Cardiff in that we transition the puck very well. We get it back high, and that they are having the lion's share of the shots. You know, we talk about stats and stuff like regularly be D-men and double figures for shots. So it's a definite, you know, it's a system we're playing. No surprise to you that the likes of Will Cullen coming up with a couple of goals. Great shot. Some of the D have an absolute rocket on them. And, you know, that's the stereotypical grind, isn't it? We come in on a Sunday afternoon, you've had a hard road game the other night. Travel definitely wasn't easy for the lads. And, you know, you've got to come back in on a Sunday afternoon, go less than 24 hours after going to a very tough rink the night before. Still short bodies, losing bodies during the game. And you just have to grind it out. And, you know, what can I say it every week? The 2 points in, you know, December is important as a two. And these will be two important points. And we then just refocus for tomorrow night. It's just one shift, one period, one game at a time.
Paddy, sorry to jump in. One thing that was a game saver on this that cannot be understated. Mark Cooper saved that game in the last couple of seconds. They clawed it back to 4-3 in the 58th minute, skating 6-on-4 with the goalie pulled. They really pressed us in the zone. And in those dying seconds, Coop absolutely chucked his body in front of an absolute rocket. And it's those little defensive plays that don't make the highlight reels just the same as the pretty goals like Lakers over the shoulder, but that's Mark Cooper back doing what he does best, and my goodness, we've missed it.
I have a question from Aaron Murphy earlier today. If Coop was back in the lineup, obviously he was back last week with the Manchester Storm and come back in and sort of finding his feet again, but you're absolutely right, Derry, he's a player that's key to this side.
He's been a player certainly depended on over the last sort of season a bit for that bit of physicality in terms of going and agitating around the blue paint. And I say there's been so many, Joel talks about coming up with that big block at the end of the game. Our top players have been throwing themselves. The other week we're talking about Scott Conway throwing himself down with minutes to go. It might have been away to Guildford the other week. Of course, we didn't come away with the win, but it gave us the opportunity then to go down the ice, pull Jackson Whistle as it was, I think, on the night, and get the 6-on-5 and an opportunity to tie the game up. So the blocks this season, the little chart that do, some of the numbers on it are unreal, and you're getting buy-in from every player. There's no player in that organization, there's no player in that locker room that doesn't appear on that chart. You know, everybody's laid themselves down. And like, you know what it's like yourself when you get hit with a rubber bullet, it can be sore, so you don't want to be... I don't want
to. Not since about 1995, mate. But
yeah, well, it's you know,
the glory days, man.
We were younger. I once saw Ulster's hero taking one and telling everybody to run on, but they were already well up the street at that stage. But like, you don't want to dive in front of these pucks. Yes, you've got shin pads on. Yes, you've got padded shorts. Yes, you've maybe got a wee bit of padding on your top half, but that just catches you where you don't have padding. And we'll ask with Mark Garside coming on in a little bit. Ask him what it's like, because he throws himself down in front of the pucks as well. Adam Keefe used to do it with his head. Remember, like when he was there, he just give it away and throw himself down. And that's what it means to be a Belfast Giants. And that's, you know, that's another thing.
Johnny Boxall in the Challenge Cup final.
They do it week in, week out. And it's very, very good that Joel's actually highlighted, because these little details don't always get the praise that's due.
Right, well, let's say a 4-3 win for your Belfast Giants. Back to winning ways ahead of the 3 games in 4 days. That are coming. The highlights of those games are available on YouTube that game is available on YouTube from Belfast Giants TV. And we go to the fan agenda, brought to you by our friends at Belfast Giants TV. Returning, he's only on a few weeks ago, but he's back on with a very good reason. We're delighted to have back Mr. Mark Garside. How are you, man?
Well, welcome to the hospital ward here, honestly.
Give you a bit of advice, just stay away from your screen. You might catch something that's just floating around this whole podcast at the minute. Yeah, it's disastrous. How are you?
I'm good, mate. How is everybody?
Yeah.
They're all right.
So before we talk about the hockey, and I know Davey's doing some frantic scribbling in a minute, obviously last week and last little while we've been doing some fundraising with regards to the neonatal unit and the intensive care. From your point of view, give us your take. What does this mean to you?
Well, a hell of a lot, obviously. As some people may know, our daughter Quinn was born in September, and she was essentially had to be resuscitated at birth. There was a lot of bleeding involved and stuff. And so she spent her first 10 days, I think, in the NICU unit in Ulster. You know, a lot of care taken by the doctors and nurses and things. So me and Becky and our family just wanted to give a little bit back. And so thankfully, one of the ways we can do that is through the Giants. And it's, you know, we really appreciate everybody's generosity and buying tickets for the raffle.
I know it's you know, it's a terrifying thing as a parent when that happens, but the people who do the work in these intensive care units do a phenomenal job, and you know it's fantastic, like you say, that you're able to dig in and find a way to help them out. Davey, you know, you were chatting to Mark about that and sort of helped in the strife.
I'm interested in the name. Where is Quinn, like an old family name? Is it just a name like fabulous? Oh, really strong.
It was my wife, Becky, just liked the name. There was no family in that.
The story is, no, Gary did what he was told.
She liked it, and I went, aye.
It's not a thing, so maybe in years to come, you know, that's mine are named after old ladies in the family. Well, no longer with us, sadly, but, you know, it's just sometimes family runs through families. It's just interesting. But what would do this draw? Quickly here, let's see if I can do this, Paddy.
So give us the details, Davey. What is it? What we're looking for? What are people?
I want to share my screen first, Paddy. How do you hit?
Go present. To present at the bottom.
And I want to say slide, yeah, or share screen.
Share screen. You're watching A View from the Bridge.
Don't be like that.
Stop that now.
Right. So if I say share screen, right?
Yes.
And if I go to window. Or Chrome tab, it is. Right, here we go. Here we go. I don't know whether you're going to be able to see that in big enough. There's a lot of names. They're all down the right hand side there.
So there's
a lot of names.
Just look at the generosity that Mark talks about there. So first prize that we're going to spin for first is for a game worn Mark Garside shirt. You're going to get to meet Mark after one of the games coming up. We'll organize that with Laura Small. Where's my pen? So I'm going to press this. And we'll get our first winner, see if this works. Oh, here we go.
Oh, Wheel of Fortune.
The tension's unbelievable here.
The winner is...
It's Joe!
Congrats, Joe. So, first prize. So we will... And then second prize on this, wasn't it? The Mark Garside ice hockey player t-shirt that I have from the testimonial.
There you go.
We'll draw this second prize.
Tension is unbearable.
Isn't it, mate? Isn't it?
Oh, we're gone.
And to be honest, Laura Small said if she won, to take her out and do it again. So,
yeah,
we will. At her request, I wanted it to be legit. So, oh no, look what's going to happen now. Joel Neil. Right?
No, so, sorry.
So you can't.
Divvy, it's working really well.
I know, it proves it's not fixed, too. So here we go. Please, not Andre Owens. Right. Tara Knowles.
Tara Knowles, let's go.
K-N-O-W-L-E-S. I've got a second draw to do here. So we'll close that.
Kevin Madden, fix.
Do you think Davey would put this much effort to put all these names into this wheel to fix it? It'd be really good if he did.
This feels like that Father Ted episode where they're trying to raffle the car.
Just bear with me, boys, and coming up with the next draw here. It's just...
Have you got another Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, I've got another Wheel of Fortune here, big lad.
What was your presenter's name? Les something?
I can't remember.
Leslie Crowther, was it? No.
I don't know.
Les Dawson's probably more from...
Was it Les?
Right, here we go.
Can't remember.
Oh, Wheel of Fortune?
Nicky Cannon. He did. Nicky Campbell did Wheel of Fortune, didn't he?
Right. Command V. This is Command the second V. draw. This is the draw that for everybody that donated during last week's podcast. Very generous. We've got an incredible 270 something pounds in during the show. So this is for hockey, Mel the Mangler Engelstad hockey DVD of them beating
legitimate,
beating people up.
Legitimate, authentic copy.
A Cardiff Devils first ever game we played against the Cardiff Devils, a program from my own collection. So we want to spin this way to game. I want to thank Mark for his patience here. Right, so
I'm assuming that's Bass and not Bass. That's got to be Owl Bass Boy.
All right, okay.
If you're watching, let us know what your actual name is.
And then
I'm sorry if it's Owl Bass Boy.
And the last draw is for the teddy bear that was very kindly donated by Wendy. The money that was raised on this is going to the Cash for Kids appeal, this Christmas Cash for Kids appeal. So here we go. There's only 9 people in this one, so you've got a slightly less than, slightly more than 10% chance of winning. So here we go.
This is phenomenal audio content.
You don't get this in any other podcast.
You do not. You do not. The variety, the sheer variety.
Tony Hamilton.
Well done.
So
well done, Tony.
There you go. I don't know whether that went. How did I get that? I don't know whether that went worse or better than what we're expecting, but it happened. And there's the Mel Engelstad DVD. Absolutely.
It's so official.
100% authentic.
So Mel real.
It's exactly the same color as my Moment in Time DVD.
Excellent.
But I think we'll go back to what Mark said at the very start, the generosity of people across like a week or 10 days that we were doing that. Especially at this time of year, and for every time we're very fortunate that we're able to get involved in things. I guess the generosity of Belfast Giants fans is just phenomenal. And I think it was 11. Am I right in saying it was about £1,100 with given?
I think so.
So incredible. So thank you all very much.
Yes, thank you.
You're here. So let's briefly to the hockey. Gary, the fact that the Giants had a bit of a bad run there, the Storm game, and then coming back with a good performance against the Devils, if a loss, and finally back to winning ways. How's the atmosphere in the room?
It's good. It's good to get back in. Obviously, after the Manchester games, we were all very disappointed. I mean, knew we'd kind of played below ourselves in those two games, I think, and we wanted to kind of set the record straight this last weekend there. I think we did play well against the Devils. We weren't quite clinical enough. Maybe could have went in there a bit harder. So some things about that game we didn't quite like, although our effort was there and we played quite well systematically as well. And then the Dundee game, we played well. I mean, if you watch it back, I heard you talking about the blocking shots and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, we were doing all those little things in the Dundee game. Dundee actually played pretty well. And so we had to kind of dig in and play well to beat them.
Dicko talked on the webcast about conversion rate, and we talked earlier in the podcast as well about just what you're saying there, about having to pay the price to go in. Cardiff are big. Cardiff, make it difficult to go in there in front of them, and as a result of that, we're having a lot of shots from the outside, and Ben Bynes is still a decent enough goalie. He's going to stop the most from the outside, so it's just a case of keeping going. I thought we played really well, actually, on Saturday. Very, very solid, solid first period, and just that 5-on-3 call gets us a little bit behind. Sometimes you have to deal with bad calls and good calls as well. But across the course of the weekend, two points out of 4, if you'd have went in September and said, that you've got to be away to Cardiff and home to Dundee. Obviously you want more, but where we've been, I think the two performances are those green shoots that Paddy often talks about.
Yeah, we definitely have something to build on after last weekend. We've obviously got Roche in the lineup this weekend or tomorrow and then into the weekend as well. So we're starting to get bodies back as well, which will help. I know it's like the same for a lot of teams, but I think we've done quite a lot of bodies over the last month. I just think just over time it creates fatigue, and then with that fatigue, guys are playing probably a bit more minutes too. So maybe not quite as crisp as what they normally are. But I think having bodies coming back into the lineup now And with that, kind of playing well, that's my bins alarm going off.
Bins alarm?
Put the bins out, mate.
Yeah, I know, put the bins out. But yeah, no, with us playing last weekend, we know we've got something to build on now. And having Roachie coming in, you know, guys are pretty positive this week about this, but going in and playing Nottingham and Manchester and Coventry.
We talk last week and the week before, because we've been going through this injury thing for a few weeks now, and we always try to sort of say we are a no excuse organization, but it's certainly fair to say it's been a factor, and guys playing upwards on half an hour, some guys have been playing, you know, you talk about ice time, you know, you see it yourself, some of the boys on the back end especially have been playing 30 minutes plus. You've got the likes of Goody being 26-27 minutes. Like that takes its toll when you're playing maybe Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, or Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, doing it has to catch up with you.
Yeah, I think it's okay doing it once in a while, you know, like you can play with that kind of short lineup every now and then. It doesn't really affect you too much. It's just the continuous, having done it over four weeks, you know, it starts to build up after a while. I think that's kind of what we saw against Manchester, without realizing that we were just fatigued, you know, and then that leads to making bad decisions, or it leads to just guys doing the wrong thing out there on the ice. When normally, if they're fully rested and they're thinking straight, you know, they make better decisions and they're more clinical.
Gary, a lot of chat, obviously, this season so far about the standings and about the sort of topsy-turvy look of it based on sort of recent years, the upsets that are going on. I've spoken to Adam Keefe enough after games to know not to ask him about the standings, you know, and it's usually whenever we're in a position of defending, being at the top or being one or two points away. You know, he's always just that mentality of one game at a time. But obviously at the minute, we're digging ourselves out of a wee bit of a hole. You know, we are kind of mid-table. You've got Guildford and Coventry streaking away there. Is the table a factor at all in your daily conversations? Are you looking at it as in the motivation to drive on, the challenge that you've got ahead of you? What standing does the standings have, you know, in the day-to-day operations of the Giants at the minute? Do you look at it?
I mean, I think when you come in at the start of the year, it's always drilled into you, because a lot of guys will be coming from leagues where it's just not so winning the league. It's not the prime objective, essentially. Like, so, you know, when you come in at the start, as soon as we're playing first league games, it's like, this is the big competition. It's, you know, it's a marathon. Mm-hmm. And we have to be prepared to do the things that win us games consistently that's going to help us win the league. And I think that is one of the things that we do focus on, as opposed to just looking right out at the league table. It's more the way that we play. I think Kiefer always has his eye on sort of like shots for, shots against, you know, our goals against average and our goals for average and things like that. Because those are the things that pay out over the long run. You know, the way we play is designed to try and not give up that, you know, good scoring opportunities against us and a lot of shots against. So that is one of the things that he will look at. And you can see, like, when we play games like against Manchester and we're giving up shots and scoring chances, like against the average, when you've got your you know, you've already got your 20 games played or something, you can tell when you've had a bad game like that.
Yeah.
As far as the league table right now, obviously Guildford are quite streaking ahead, but there's still a long way to go as well. We are in December. We've been 11 points later in the season and we won the league, you know, that few years ago. You know, I can't remember when we were 11 points back in Cardiff, but we ended up pulling it back on the
2018-19, I think.
2018-19, that's right. Yeah, so there is a long way to go to, you know, as well. So there's lots of hockey to be played.
And I was going to ask you for a bit of a hot take on the fact that Guildford are 8 points clear, Coventry are second, but that was far too intelligent and considered response for me to put you in that position, so I'm not going to. on the other side, I see you've got a lovely Christmas tree up there that I'm sure Becky did all of and you didn't touch at all. It's a crazy time of year for a hockey player, and you've been in this game, you know, for a fair bit at this point. What does Christmas look like for you and for the family? Are you getting a bit of time to sort of celebrate? I know you probably can't hammer a big dinner and have a load of beers.
I mean, yeah, it's not quite like your average Christmas, I guess, and drinking wine all the time, but
like mine.
I think it's Christmas during lockdown. I forgot to experience it. That was lovely. Generally, we'd have a couple of days break after, I think we have a game on the 22nd with a few days off, and generally kind of just on Christmas Day. It's, I have kids now anyway, so it's more about getting the toys made, you know, and
looking forward to it
for the morning. And then in the morning, getting up early with them and, you know, getting all the toys and wrapped and things like that. So much more of a family day for me now.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
No wine, though. Sorry.
I'll have it on your behalf. I'll do that for you, Paul.
Just glass.
We're not going to keep you too much longer, Guy, because we appreciate you've got the game tomorrow and you've been with us, you know, going through the Wheel of Fortune. But one thing I do want to say, obviously, coming back in on Sunday, the guys were looking at that bit of inspiration. How much of an inspiration was this team talk?
Oh, it's just that. Oh,
that's great. He's done that a few times, I think. And sometimes it, you know, like when we are stressed out, we've lost a few games in a row. It is nice to see like people who are in completely different sort of situations. You realize like, okay, although we've lost a few games, it's not like, you know, like you could be in such a different set of circumstances, and it makes you realize how lucky we are to sort of play and stuff as well. And you kind of go out there, you know, with a bit of fresh thought, you know, or a bit of
perspective.
Once we've been told by Dahi, you know.
Look at that sit. Look at the wee sit.
Obviously, for those listening in, Dahi was in giving a bit of a team talk in the game on Sunday, and he said, I love the suit. The suit is absolutely magnificent. The kids got it.
Oh man.
But when it comes to that
tie on as well, every now and then.
The wee tie.
Yeah. The tie's fantastic. Like as an organization for you guys to be able to very careful to say here, touch so many children's lives, you know, and get involved in that, and vice versa, the organization last week being able to help a player out in the opposite direction. It's the little things that you say gives a little bit of perspective as well, that yes, this is very, very important to a lot of people, yourselves included, but it's also very important what we do for these guys.
Yeah, I mean, over the years, especially, you know, Laura's been kind of in charge and sort of helping and sick kids and things coming in the room and experience, and it does give us such a good perspective on, you know, how lucky we are to play for the Giants, and even how lucky we are just to be fit and healthy and able and live the life that we do. I mean, a lot of these kids are like Dahi, he's waiting on a heart transplant, you know, so they're in completely different kind of circumstances to what we are, and it's really fun to see him come in and sort of put a smile on his face. And he loves coming in and doing those like little team talks and things too. It's great.
And likewise, you know, you were up in my old neck of the woods at John the Baptist School just the other week, giving a sort of a presentation to the kids there. What does that entail?
That's just so I'm sort of doing all the healthy lifestyle school visits with the Giants now. We just kind of go in and give them a sort of 15-20 minute presentation on living a healthy lifestyle, you know, you're exercising, you're eating and you're sleeping. And then it's a Q&A for an unspecified amount of time about how many boss and fights I've been in and whatnot.
sounds like appearing on A View from the Bridge, mate. A Q&A for an unspecified amount of time.
Can I just ask, my last question of today is, Mark, will you come to my house and give me that talk, please?
I'll send you over an email if you want.
Would you please?
I've just got the PowerPoint presentation and the script there, you can have it.
Give me the cheat notes, man, please. I need it right now. Thank you.
Listen, Guy, we really appreciate you coming on. Good luck tomorrow against the Nottingham Panthers and the forthcoming weekend. And well done on the fundraising for Niku and the likes. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you, and thanks for helping out with all the fundraising as well.
Happy Christmas, Mark Garside.
Love that guy.
Big thanks to Mark Garside for his time. We really appreciate him coming on. And Davey, you know, the generosity that came from the Belfast Giants fans and the people, you know, who tune into A View from the Bridge was remarkable.
Unbelievable. I tell you so often, my favorite player, that, you know, just I can't get enough of that fella. He's such a good attitude on and off the ice for us. He's been around a long time now, and you know, his numbers are starting to creep up there. There's somebody else might just get jumped up over the next couple of weeks. So you know, and what he was able to do with his family to pay back. We talk about Quinn having a bit of a difficult start to life, and families generally want to help out. Want to help out the ward or whatever after that, and you know, the Garside family went to, and I think it was Gary's mother-in-law went to work and raised some money, and we were able to be just a little tiny part of that. So very blessed that we were able to be.
Fantastic. Right, Joel, any news?
Yeah, first of all, we have two Challenge Cup quarterfinal second legs happening live.
One seems to have descended into chaos.
Yeah, so The Fife Flyers and the Dundee Stars are currently locked at 8-8 on aggregate after finishing 4-4. And they are heading into overtime. And the Cardiff Devils and Sheffield Steelers, that one is late in the third period. The Steelers are up 5-3 down in Cardiff Bay, which gives them an aggregate of 10-4. So I think it's pretty clear who's moving on through there. But yeah, keep your eye on Flash Score for the next wee while for that finish between the Fife Flyers and Dundee Stars. Fife, as we'll look at in a wee second, haven't been overly great domestically recently. So that would certainly be a big boost to them. But anyway,
Josh Batch and Scott Allen have been kicked from the game for fighting.
Oh, I didn't see that. Spicy. Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on that before the end of the show. This past week in the Viaplay Elite Ice Hockey League, on Friday night, the Guildford Flames traveled to Glasgow for a 3-2 win over the Clan in the evening's only game. On Saturday, the Clan's home stand continued with a 7-1 loss at the hands of the Sheffield Steelers. The Flames continued their Scottish road trip with a visit to the Kingdom of Fife for a 6-2 win over the Flyers and another four-point weekend, which, as we were talking about with Mark Garside, now takes them 8 points clear at the top of the table. The Manchester Storm absolutely took the wooden spoon to the Nottingham Panthers. They beat them 7-1 at home in Aldringham. And then this is one of the maddest goal swings I've ever heard. So the Manchester Storm win 7-1 in Alte on Saturday. And then they travel to Coventry on Sunday to take on the second place Blaze and lose 9-0. It's just ridiculous. 7-1 win to a 9-0 loss. Make it make sense. Anyway, the Panthers bounce back with a 5-2 win over the Devils back at the NIC, and the Steelers then travel to Fife for a 5-1 win, leaving the Flyers with another 0 point weekend. Just a quick one, Paddy, on the Great Britain Men's Under 20 World Championships.
Yes.
With a bit of skin in the game there. Great Britain beat Romania 9-0 in their third game at the IIHF Men's Under 20 World Championship. Division two, Group A in Kaunas, Lithuania last night. Mike Sturts got himself a hat trick, and Kel Beattie and Carter Hamill of this parish is also in the squad. GB now have 2 wins from 3 matches and remain in contention for a gold medal and promotion to D1. They're back in action again on Friday when they face the Netherlands at 2 o'clock UK time. And I think they're all being live streamed, so have a Google at that. They have 2 games left, Netherlands, and then on Saturday they play Spain at 10:30 in the morning UK time. And we have no dops to speak of, so I'm just going to look and see.
I think we want to look at this Steelers game. Petrulli's now got 5 for fighting. Riley Grant's got 2 plus 5 plus 10.
In half. Yes. So we'll have plenty of dops to talk about next week.
There'll be lots of dops next week, the looks of it.
Christmas jumpers next week, boys?
I don't want a Christmas jumper, man.
You've got to wait to get one then.
I'll try my best. Well, pre-mark's back open, back in the city, so.
6 days.
6 days.
Oh, yeah.
We'll try to get back to Tuesday at some point.
Yeah, I know.
19th, 20th, because we've got a game on the 22nd, don't we? So.
Yeah, we do.
That is your news, L. Patrick Smith.
Thank you very much, mate. We're going to wrap up pretty quickly here. The Belfast Giants have 3 games in 4 days, all of which away from home, the first of which is the Challenge Cup quarterfinal first leg, which is tomorrow night, Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. at the NIC. And it's on Viaplay. What we'd normally do is we'd have the likes of our good friends Aaron Murphy or Colin Shields on, but we weren't doing it this week because
it was Murph 100% was in, but his flight was at 9 o'clock tonight, so he apologized earlier. He said 100% no problem, Davey, but I'm flying while the podcast's on, so. Paul Eady's helping him out tomorrow night, so good to see Coach Eady back on the TV screens with his, I'm sure, double-breasted gold button jacket.
Giants legend, Paul Eady.
Best dressed man on TV. It's such a hockey mind, too, and I don't say that disparagingly. I could stand and listen to Paul Eady talk. We talk about how lucky we get. If you ever get a chance to have 10 minutes with Shane Johnson, if you see him around the rink, ask him about hockey stuff. Educate yourself. These guys are unbelievable. Rob Stewart and all that. Ask them just little details. Paul Eady, you know, unreal.
Aspects of the game that you're not sure of or things that confuse you. Even the
things you don't, things like, you do not see. Things you literally don't see until they're pointed out.
100%. I think there have been times of the last, whatever it is, 18, 19 years that we've been doing this that I've ended up talking to likes of Colin Shields or Paul Eady or Doug Christensen or whatever, and they've pointed something out to me that I'd never seen before. And then you see it again, you think, actually, that's an aspect of the game I never noticed. And it's, you know, it's if you ever get the opportunity, I know these guys are in the bar or whatever, it's nice to talk to them and, you know, talk to them whatever you want to talk about. But if you can talk about the nuance of the game, you'll find that these guys are more than happy to talk about that.
Look, I agree that a lot of people, and I'm not saying that everybody that goes to the game should try and be analytical in the game. You can't just go to hockey and love it. Just love the spectacle, yes, love the fights, love the goals, and get on with it. But the longer you're in it, like we're in it 20-odd years, and I was watching hockey before that, and same with you guys probably, it's not enough just to watch a game. Sometimes you have to analyze it, and maybe that's just the type of person I am, quite analytical. So I enjoy breaking players down and breaking who's blocking shots, who's not, who's making hits, who's not, and all that. And what goaltenders, where they're conceding goals, all the little nuances. So find something. If you're in this game a long time and you haven't yet, find something small and watch. Put a player cam in your head. Pick a player in a game and watch what he does off the puck.
100%.
Because sometimes you've got this, you just watch the puck and keep your eye on the puck at all times. One comes your way, you're wrong. Keep it, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes it's great to watch if Will Cullen makes a stretch pass up the right wing. Does he immediately go to the bench for a change? If he does, is he hustling to the bench? Is the new guy coming on quick? Are they swinging the lead? Are they going off slow? And that causes a problem because, the away team have slung the puck around the horn. And because the D-man's going for a slow line change, we haven't kept the puck in the offensive zone. Little tiny things. So just, I'm not saying, educate yourself is a really, really rude way of saying, just indulge yourself a wee bit more in an aspect of the game because you'll enjoy it so much more.
How'd you end up in A&E, Davey? Oh, I got hit in the side of the head by a puck. Why were you watching the puck? Well, I was watching A View from the Bridge the other night. That's it. Watch the players. Don't watch the puck. So I now get hit in the head and I'm here in A&E.
What'd you do after?
I have a broken nose. We had disclaimer. If that happens, not our fault.
Oh, mate, I have to tell people this story because this is a long time ago and not everybody would have heard this story, but I'm going to say, you might not have heard this story either, Joe, but I'm going to say 2002, before the nets went up behind the plexi end, so we're at Boomerang Corner end, and it's a game against the Manchester Storm. All the mates have gone together. I'm pretty sure it's a Robbie Sandrock, so that'll date it, Robbie Sandrock slap shot from the blue line that gets tipped. Now, why there was no nets back then is just stupidity, but there was no nets anyway. There's a guy sitting in the row, but it's coming. It's nailed on. It's coming. It's hitting me square in a bake. So I've got time. I've got time to duck. It's just this. It's missing me. But the guy behind us has got a baby like this. And you're like, oh, it comes past us and all you hear is, and you're, oh, that's somebody's wiped out. Like if that hits a baby, wiped out. Yeah. So anyway, big Brian Robson sitting beside me and he's like this and went, oh, fuck. At least it's Miss Brian, you know. And Brian sits up and he's just got like a straight across his head and it's just the blood's pouring out of it, right? So the medics come running down and they get like a big bandage and round his head and the blood's seeping out and Brian gets up and they play Chumbawamba. I get knocked down, but I get up again. the music man MacGyver. All the players and all are on the ice. Yes, both teams are looking up like this, tapping their sticks. Big Brian's giving it all this. So Brian's taken out. They had a little room off the concourse for medical issues, and Brian was taken in there. This is right. As soon as the game's over, we'll go to A&E. So we've gone up the Ulster in the A&E, and it's like 1 a.m. We're like, lads, this is getting late here. I'm going to pull a pin. You can sit with him. So Brian, anyway, if you see Brian, he just looks like he's got a zip on his forehead now. So Brian was determined. Brian thought, just to keep the story going, Brian thought, this is an absolute open and shut claim. I was minding my own business. I was watching the puck. I tried, for whatever reason, I'm not a goaltender, but I tried to catch the puck. I missed the puck. It hit me in the head. This is free cash here. You know, I'm going to be getting a few grand out of this, like I'm scarred for life. I've got a good story. So anyway, Brian gets out of hospital and buys himself quite a nice push bike. With the money he's going to get from
preemptive
strike, yes. And Brian lived in Dundonald and he rode his bike from Mofew, Cumber Road, basically, up East Link, past the Ice Bowl, and you've got the Queen's Square there. And he fell off the bike arm, broke his arm, right? And ended up back in the A&E, back with the same doctors, arm like quasi, all big staples up here. Bike mangled, didn't get a claim. So he's got an arm he can't straighten out. He's got a zip on his forehead and he got no money. So people, keep your eye on the puck at all times.
And don't spend money you don't have yet.
That's a salient point as well, yes.
That is a very
God bless
point.
You, Big Brian, one of the greatest guys I've ever met.
It's a great story, Davey. Great story.
Wonderful story. Where were we? Oh, yes. Nottingham Panthers, the Challenge Cup just quarterfinal.
Are we still live?
Thursday, 7:30 p.m. NIC on Viaplay. Nottingham going through their own issues. We are trying to fight. And obviously, the last game we had there was a tight affair where the Giants came roaring back in the third period. Tune in tomorrow night if you're not heading over to the NIC. And hopefully, we'll also see the second debut of Josh Roach. Taking the ice with the Belfast Giants. Saturday, 7 p.m., Manchester Storm away, just down the road from me here in Planet Ice Ultram. You can get that on Storm TV if you're not making it down to the game. And then we're heading down the M6 to take on the Coventry Blaze at the Sky Dome Sunday at 5:30 p.m.
Would you go M6, would you?
I'd definitely go M6, yeah.
Would you? Fair enough.
From here, yeah, 56 M6 and then cut in.
This is
you're
a view from the bridge.
Why? What would you do? You cut through like
helicopter.
I thought I'd get the Alton Towers the other week. I'd have to take the M6, but it took me through Leek. This is sort of information you don't get on any other hockey podcast.
We are literally still live.
Yeah, that's it. We are literally still live. This is stuff that I would cut out of the recorded podcast, but now everybody gets to see it anyway. Yes, Coventry Blaze, Sunday, 5:30 p.m. at the Sky Dome. If you're not making it over there, Blaze TV with Ed and Stu. Any other business, boys?
Nothing from me, Patrick.
Nothing from you. Any from you, Davey?
Nope.
Nothing from you. The
Lem says for the boys.
Bit of a shout to Kevin Madden, actually. Fair play to Kevin Madden. Like, the fellow lives in Southampton. I'm going to see him on Saturday because he's going to come all the way up from Southampton to Manchester. He takes the drive to Nottingham. Like a lot of the guys who live this side of the water who do a lot of traveling for the Belfast Giants. I used to love doing it myself when I'm before, you know, kids and stuff like that. And priorities had to change a little bit. And hopefully I'll get back to that. But a big shout out to all the people who make the big journeys going from one side of the country to the other to follow the Belfast Giants. It's wonderful to see, and more power to them.
Cassidy Hornby says Fife have gone through, and just a big shout out because I think it was Cassidy that ponied up for the other shirt that I got given by Andrew Owens, a Lewis Hook Mark Arside testimonial jersey. So we're going to sort that out on the same night so you can get down, meet Lewis Hook, and get that. And big hi to you, give Kevin Madden a shout for me. Kevin's a fellow Taekwondo student. So, well, he's not. He's probably a master. But
there you go. So basically, don't try to fight him. Is that what you're saying?
Don't try to fight anybody. It's just hockey.
That's true. Be kind to everybody. That's the way it is.
Unless
they're from Nottingham.
The medication, Joel. It's the medication.
The fevers are starting to take hold with my two friends here. It's my medication.
I can tell you my medication's wearing off and I need to take some very soon. So on that note, a big thanks to Mark Garside and to everybody who was involved in regards to donations and the generosity that came from all of that. We very much appreciate it. And congratulations to all those who won prizes. I'm sure Davey jotted down all of them, otherwise you'll have to go back through the podcast. you didn't jot them down, did you, mate? You're gonna have to go back through the podcast and find out who won.
Watch this few minutes
on YouTube and find out who won. If you did win, there you got it. Okay, so Nottingham Panthers versus Belfast Giants Thursday, 7:30 p.m. on Viaplay in the Challenge Cup. Manchester Storm against the Belfast Giants Saturday, 7 p.m. in Elite League action in Planet Ice Ultram. Get that on Storm TV. Coventry Blaze versus Belfast Giants Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Sky Dome. Get that on Blaze TV. Big thanks to you two gentlemen.
Thanks, boys. Feel better. Feel better, both of you. Rest up.
Thank you to everybody who's put up with this.
Sorry.
We apologize. If you catch it by listening to this, it's not our fault. We are not liable. Same way we're not liable if you get hit in the head by a puck.
Correct.
You can get us on kingdomofthegiants.com, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, I think. Maybe Instagram? Yeah, let's just say
send
we're on Instagram.
Email. Send an email.
And wherever you are, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time. Hopefully feeling a lot better. on A View from the Bridge.
Social Podcast Network.